صل على محمد وآل محمد عجل فرجهم. Okay, so brothers and sisters, let's see how this goes. I'm using this for the first time, so if I'm a rookie, we'll see. Inshallah, it should be okay. All right, so the presentation, inshallah, is on music, song, and dance. And we want to have a bit more of a discussion. There will be questions from yourself, answers from myself. There may be some questions that you have that I have to look up the answers for. I do have some of them that I'll have to read off the notes of, right? Some of them I may have to look up, though, later, because I don't want to get it wrong, inshallah. Okay, so let's move, inshallah, to our first slide. Okay, this rules on singing. Okay, first of all, before anything, we need to define what singing is. Now, what they tell us is that singing is what is known as singing in the common view. In other words, there is a fiqhi definition of singing. I can read that off to you. But in reality, what will be defined as singing is what is defined as singing in the common view. So, let's read the fiqhi definition first, but then after that, we'll go directly into what singing is. Singing is the voice of a human being. So we're not talking about music yet. Inshallah, we'll talk about music later. It's the voice of the human being that's produced in a rising and falling pattern. Right? So now, because I said it's defined by the common view, if somebody, a question now, if somebody is reciting adhan, right? You hear someone who's reciting adhan, is that considered singing in the common view? So that's not singing. Although it has a rising voice, so that's not, when we, amongst ourselves, we know what singing is, that's not considered singing. What about rap? I'm not talking about whether the lyrics are or not, or halal, or anything like that, but just rap itself. Singing or not singing? Not singing. Poetry? Not singing. Right? So what happens is, just because it is in a nice voice doesn't mean that it's singing. Poetry is done in a nice voice. So singing for us then, when we look at it, we say it's not necessary that the person have a beautiful voice. Some people, they may have a voice that's terrible. They can still be humming. It will be a song. When we, in the common view, that would still be considered a song. Musical instruments are not a must. Somebody might be in their home, they're not playing any music at all, they're just singing to themselves. It might even be haram singing. Let's later on when we find out the definition, it might even be haram singing. But it's not required that there be musical instruments also. So musical instruments are not a must. It's also, on one that's going to be a little bit new for us, is the idea of a vain gathering. Many of us, when we heard the definition of singing before, we were always taught about a vain gathering. Is it suitable for a vain gathering or not suitable for a vain gathering? Inshallah, we'll get a little bit more definition of what we mean by suitable or not suitable. Is that a required or not requirement? For now, we're going to say that's not also a requirement. The definition is going to be something else. If it's played there, then that's going to be problematic, that haram music. If it's played in another place, haram music will also be a problem. So even having lyrics, finally, even having lyrics is not a must. Right? So in order for it to be singing, it's defined by the common view. What do we consider singing? Lyrics isn't a must. A beautiful voice isn't a must. None of these things are a problem. Now, going further, we want to see that what we're going to talk about today is haram singing. All singing isn't haram according to the Sharia. Some types of singing are. What we want to define for ourselves is haram singing. When does it become that major sin? So what happens is the major sin, the haram type of singing, that has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. And it is a terrible sin. It is a major sin. I want to show you the verse next. And I want you to look for you to look at some of the requirements that God has about haram singing. There are going to be two traits that we're going to look for when we look at the verse itself. And we're going to see there's two traits in haram singing. And any time these two are combined, we're going to have a problem when it comes to singing. So, I don't know if you guys can see the Arabic on it, but maybe you can see the English. I'll read the Arabic of the verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث Among mankind are those who purchase idle discourse. I want you to keep in mind the lahw al hadith part. Right? That's important. Why do they do this? لِيُذِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. It says that these individuals, they do this, they purchase the idle discourse to lead astray from the way of Allah without knowledge, and who take it for mockery and mockery, for them there shall be a humiliating punishment. So those people who do listen to haram music, yes, there is a humiliating punishment. They will be punished by God. They will burn in the hellfire. It is haram. Okay? But the second thing which is really important for us is this. It says, لِيُذِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in order that they misguide from God's way. So we're going to notice, in order for music to be haram, there's going to be two conditions for it. And we'll talk about those two conditions, inshallah, in detail. What does it mean? What are these two conditions that are there? So, the first one is that it is lahwi, or distracting. If you remember that verse of the Holy Quran, the verse of the Holy Quran said lahwul hadith, right? What do we mean when we say lahwul hadith? So the first thing that we learned from the Holy Quran, the first thing that for us to look for in order for us to define which music is haram is it lahwul hadith, right? Is it lahwi? Is it distracting? Now, what we learn from the fuqaha is that every type of distraction is not haram. Every type of lahw is not haram. So we need to talk about that and make sure we know that what is haram and what isn't haram. An example of something that's distracting for me, but it's not haram. The first example, let's say somebody is dealing with a personal tragedy in their life. I'm dealing with a personal tragedy in my life. When I listen to a certain song or I watch a certain movie, I'm distracted. It is distracting. It is lahw, but it's not haram for me. So lahwi, just in general, means that it's something which distracts me, which makes me unaware of something. In my case, I'm dealing with a personal tragedy, but when I sit down and I listen to this music, then, or I look at this song, we're talking about a halal music or halal song, I'm distracted, but it's not forbidden. So before I go any further, does that make sense, guys? The idea of what's lahwi? So what's lahwi? Let me just hear from the sisters first.
Lahwi is a distraction.
It's going to be a distraction. Is all lahw haram?
No.
When would it be haram?
When it's taking away from
the memory. Well, it takes us away from that. But all lahw, even if it's so, there's a movie that I'm watching, now I'm entertained, I forget my issues, my problems, that doesn't make it haram. That's just one of those quyud that are there. Brothers, are we good? Okay. Now, the next one that is, there is misguiding from the way of Allah. If we remember the verse, it said, first part it said, lahw al hadith, the other side it says they do this in order to misguide from the way of Allah. So when is it that we consider something to be misguiding from the way of Allah? If both of those things aren't there, it's not going to be forbidden. The first part was that it was distracting, but the second part is that it's misguiding from the way of Allah. This may be a little bit new. For me, it was new. When I covered this part of the discourse, it was actually a little bit new. When we say that something is misguiding from the way of Allah, there are two things that it misguides us from. One time is when we're misguided in our beliefs, our aqa'id, those reality, the Day of Judgment, Allah and His Messenger, the 12th Imam, right? Those are realities. So sometimes idlal, music which is for us considered mudhil, is music which misguides us from those realities, those haqa'iq, that are aqa'id, our beliefs. The other time is that sometimes music is not going to misguide me from those realities necessary, it's going to misguide me practically. So I want to talk about both of those. The first one would be beliefs. There's some music that might make me feel doubts in my Islamic ideology. Right? I might feel doubts in my Islamic ideology or feel indifferent to those realities. I don't feel, and I'm going to give you a practical example, but this is something which makes me feel indifferent to the day of judgment, to those realities that we believe in, our aqaid. So for instance, let's say you have a believer, and this person, I don't know if any of you have experienced this, this person is a believer, practicing mu'min or mu'mina. When they're in the company of other believers, in the masjid, associating with believers, the days of Muharram, these kind of days, they feel a different way. They feel strong when it comes to these beliefs. The day of judgment, fear of the hellfire, those are there. But if the person gets drowned in music, the world of music, listening to a lot of music, after a while, and this sometimes happens gradually, the person starts to deviate in their beliefs gradually. Before they were very much, fi sabilillah, Allahu Akbar, whatever we're doing, we're supposed to do. But then gradually I start listening to more and more music. And then after a while, the strength that I had in beliefs in the beginning, that's no longer there. Right? So that would be an example of me having doubts now, either just doubts in my ideology. Let's say there was a song that just made fun of Islam, made fun of the things that we believe, mocked the Holy Prophet, for instance. So about our beliefs. Or the other time, no. I just start to feel indifferent about these realities altogether. So that would be one. That would be misguidance when it comes to beliefs. The other one is practical misguidance. Practical misguidance is when a song encourages me to perform a certain sin. Right? There's a song that, let's say there's a song about suicide. That's a sin. That's one of the sins that's out there. There are other songs about other sins, and this song is encouraging me either to abandon one of the wajibat or to commit a haram act. That is also another example of idlal, of misguiding people and taking them away from the path of Allah. This time it's not that I don't believe in the Day of Judgment anymore. No, the Day of Judgment is there, but it's sins that I consider to be okay. Right? So, now, in definition, we'll come to a definition now when it comes to haram music. So all music isn't haram. In order for music to be considered haram, it has to have two conditions. One of them is that it is distracting, but it has to be distracting from the way of Allah, either in the aqa'id or in the practice. If it's not, if it doesn't have those conditions, then it's going to be okay. Now, Bismillah. Bismillah.
Does that mean that the lyrics themselves, if they describe actions that would take one away from Allah, or does that mean that it would manifest in yourself doing those actions?
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. Can I get just a piece of paper or cloth or something? Okay. Could you repeat that question again, and then I'll answer.
Okay,
good. Let me see if, first let me make sure I've understood the question properly. When you, because there's going to be three types of misguidance, and I'm going to talk about them, right? But let's say, one part of the question is this. Let's say, for me, I'm a very good mu'min, practicing. Iman is up to here, even higher than here, right? When I listen, even if it's haram music, which is describing haram actions, because I said one of the songs that would be problematic is, let's say the song was promoting suicide or promoting some sort of haram action, right? I can listen to that song morning and night. It doesn't affect me as an individual. I'm not affected by it. I can listen to it morning and night. Is that haram? Is that the question? Okay. So I'll make it even worse, right? Let's say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad is ma'asum and will never commit sin. He's ma'asum and he'll never commit sin. He's not affected by the music. Right? Imam Mahdi, if he was listening to haram music, God forbid, that's sajir billah, he wouldn't be affected by it. It wouldn't make the Prophet Muhammad would start committing sins. Is it haram for Prophet Muhammad to listen to haram music? He's not affected though. Prophet Muhammad, when he listens, it doesn't guide him, misguide him from the way of Allah. Could he sit and enjoy haram music but not be affected? Let's see. He can. Anybody else agree that Prophet Muhammad would be able to? He's like, so let me make sure it's clear. We're going to define, we've defined so far what haram music is. Right? Certain music that is misguiding from the way of Allah and it's distracting, that music is haram. Okay. But let's say you have an individual who's not affected. I gave the example of someone who's a strong believer, but I said, no, somebody, ma'asum, Imam Mahdi. Right? Can he listen to music which is haram for everybody else?
He's not affected. His level is different than everyone else.
He's not even.
You reach his level and you don't get affected. That's fine too.
What do you mean? No, I just want to hear. It's a discussion, right? Bismillah. We're not making the fatwa. I don't want anybody to panic. I'm not giving the fatwa right now. I'm just asking.
No, I'm saying his followers would then look at his life and yeah, as an example. He shouldn't listen to music. It would be wrong.
You think it would be wrong for him. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
I mean, his attention, even when he's listening to the music, his attention is pure. But it's still, it's bad music.
It's bad music, but he's... Let's not say Prophet Muhammad, because then it will make it bad, right? Let's not say Prophet Muhammad. There is a mu'min or mu'mina. She is so muttaqi. When she listens to haram music, she does dhikr of Allah. Okay? Can she listen? Can she listen?
Oh.
She's doing dhikr of Allah. She's listening to, the music is discussing homosexuality, but she's doing dhikr of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Okay. Now, last part. This is the last part. Then I have to give the fatwa.
The ruling is objective and it's direct. And when the ruling comes with the certain criteria. If it meets that criteria, it does not talk about the effect of it or not. So it only talks about the criteria of the ruling, which is being lahu or not. It doesn't matter if the lahu is having effect or not. That's the ruling. So it's subjective and everything else is subjective.
Okay. So you disagree that Imam Mahdi couldn't listen to haram music.
Even if it doesn't affect him,
he'll be... It's still haram. Okay. So, meaning the reason why I want to go over this is it's a real question for some of the mu'mineen. Sometimes when you guys are going and you're explaining to other people, they're still... I'm not affected by the music. Okay, I understand this type of music, it encourages people, let's say, to do this or do that, but I'm not affected. What about me? So the ruling is that no matter if you're affected or not, if it's forbidden, you can't listen to it. So even if it was Prophet Muhammad, he wouldn't be listening to haram music and say, well, it doesn't affect me. No, that's the listening to it is forbidden. The effect, it misguides me from the way of Allah, it doesn't misguide me from the way of Allah, that's something which is different. So that music is forbidden, right? The music which is forbidden, it has the particular qualities, the verse of Quran applies to it, that music is absolutely haram and nobody can listen to it. Now, does that make sense, guys? Or just so at least we know the ruling. Okay. So when we talk about things that are misguiding from the way of Allah, there are three types of misguidance. When it comes to something which is misguiding from the way of Allah, there are three types of misguidance. The first one is the lyrics of the song itself. Sometimes you'll have a song, because we haven't gotten to music yet. You have a song. The lyrics themselves are ones that encourage a certain sin, prevent one from doing a certain wajib, cause doubts and belief. The lyrics themselves are problematic. right? If the lyrics are like that, if they're problematic, then that's one of the ways, one of the three ways that causes misguidance and is forbidden. That's one. Now, the next one is the melody. Right? Sometimes the words, the lyrics themselves are okay. But the way that this song is sung, the melody, we haven't gotten to the music yet, the way, the tune that this person is reciting in is one that promotes sin. Let's say, for instance, the melody, no music involved, but the melody of what the person is reciting, this is dance music, right? A song that causes one to want to dance, right? It's dance, a song which is suitable for dancing. Even though we're talking, the person is doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Then that's a problem. Okay, that's one. So the next one is the melody. Sometimes, no, it's not even that. Sometimes it's other states and conditions, right? So this one is, when does permitted music become forbidden? So let's say, for example, you have a sister. She has a beautiful voice. When we look at the lyrics of the song are absolutely fine. There's no problem with the lyrics. It's praise of Ahlul Bayt. It's some wonderful poetry, Irfani poetry, right? So the lyrics is no problem. We look at the melody that the sister is reciting in, for instance, right? The melody also is not one which is promoting haram. The melody is, it's fine, it's soothing, it's fine, it's okay. But, for instance, she's reciting in front of a group of men. Right? Muslim sister wearing hijab, right? Not, that's a bad example. This is non-Muslim. This is a non-Muslim, she's wearing, not wearing hijab. She was reciting in front of a group of men. Even if the song was okay, we couldn't be sitting there in the concert and say that, you know, alhamdulillah, we are just. So three types of misguidance. The first one was the lyrics. Sometimes they're problematic. Second one is the melody. And sometimes it's the state and the condition. We're not going, the marjas will not allow that a woman comes over and men are there and she's singing and, you know, no, that's going to be a problem. Now, next question, and I'll see if you guys can answer this without me telling the ruling. What is the ruling, brothers and sisters, if I don't know, bayni wa bayn Allah, bayni wa bayn Allah, I'm not fooling God, I'm not trying to trick him, bayni wa bayn Allah, I don't know if the music that I'm listening to is haram or not. I'm not sure, bayni wa bayn Allah, if it is lahwi and it's mudhil an sabilillah. What is the ruling then? Is it halal or not? Oh, is halal. See, we do have maraja, they'll say, you know, stay away. You don't have to, you know, because it's mashkuk, it's doubtful, I must listen, wajib to listen. No. But is it halal? Anybody else? In the back row? That's something else, right? I'm saying that right now I'm, no, let's go one at a time. Let's go one at a time, right? I turn on the radio. I know the ayat of Quran. I know that it's a major sin. I've learned that there's three types of ways that it can misguide me. But bayni wa bayn Allah, I'm not sure if this is mudhil. Lahwi and mudhil. Is it haram for me to listen? Okay. So.
I think it's halal because when one is doubt, it's correct. Like, as they say, like, you know how when you're praying and you think, oh, this is my fourth rakat, this is my third rakat. But if you doubt yourself, it means it's your fourth one.
Right? I'm not fooling God. God knows. God's watching. God's listening. There is a day of judgment. But bayni wa bayn Allah, I'm just not sure if this is haram. In that case, it is lawful to listen. Yes, some marajas say still. It's better you don't listen to it. You don't have to go to the edge of haram, but it's halal. At least I don't have to worry that I'm committing a sin. I'm doing, no, I'm not sure. I make sure if it's haram, I stay away from it. If I don't know, it's halal. No. Well, no. Well, the response, the person who's responsible, they're going to definitely try, right? They're not going to say, you know, like, ignorance is bliss. I won't open the risala, right? Inshallah, it's halal. No, I'm not talking about that. We can't fool God. We must learn the rulings, right? We have to make effort. We have to learn the ruling. But now, let's say we've attended, we've listened. Right now, when I listen, when I turn this on, I'm not sure. If I turn it on and I'm not sure it's halal, the ruling of the marja. Now, I want to give a clear example of some music, some song that is absolutely forbidden. One of them is those songs which are for dancing. If there is a song for dancing, they say this is the clear example of what's forbidden. This song is specific. This is dance music. It's there. Listen to this. This is for that. That's haram. Now, let's say that it's haram music. Oh, bismillah.
I have a question. How does it qualify as dance music? Does it have to be made for dance music? Is it used as dance music? Or could it be either?
Let's say somebody dances to anything.
That's
right, this is they hear it, they start doing a jigaboo. As soon as they, right? That's different from the music, which is, and it's up to us now to say, this is dance music. We know what a dance is. We know what a club is, right? This is club music. Right? This is that dance music. The song, we haven't got to music yet, but that song is one which is there. That rhythm, that tone, those lyrics, that's for that thing. If that's the case, then it's haram. Okay? And it's the common perception, by the way. It's the common perception. What is the common view? Now, next question. Let's say it's a wedding. It's a happy occasion. It's a happy occasion. Mu'mineen, mu'minat, they're all excited. Alhamdulillah, somebody has just gotten married. Can we listen to forbidden music on a special night like this? That's a special night. Allah doesn't make any exceptions? I don't hear it. Brothers, yes? No?
No?
No. No. It doesn't make a difference if it's a wedding to say that because it's a wedding, then I can do haram for one night. No. Actually, it's a much better idea that we start our lives with Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, and following them, not going away from them, going far from Allah, right? That on that special night, we're going to do a major sin, right? And we'll all think it's halal together. No. Okay? Next question. Let's say I go, and this might be a practical one. We cannot go to a place which is a gathering of haram music, right? We cannot go, there's a concert where haram music is being played. Right? We can't go and attend and say, you know, I'm here to do dhikr. Okay? No, we can't fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's not allowed. We can't do that. Now, I want to give another example though. I'm going to the mall, and some of the stores in the mall play haram music. But I'm not going to listen to haram music. I want to go and buy a pair of jeans. I want to buy a pair of sneakers, right? They tell us it's lawful to go in, but now, if we hear passively, they tell us a difference between listening and hearing, right? So I go into the mall. This particular store is playing haram music. I'm not going to listen to the music, enjoy the music. Now that I'm here, I might as well enjoy myself. No, I'm not doing that. It's simply that the music is being played. I want to go and I want to purchase a pair of sneakers. The passive listening, in that way, I'm not listening. I'm hearing. That part is allowed.
So if you're in a sporting event, and you're there to watch like a basketball game, and there's a halftime show. Halftime shows usually involve like music and dancing and stuff. It's not enough to just sit in your seat and look down and ignore it. You have to actually get up and leave your seat. So this way you're not, you know, that exposed to the music. Or would you be able to stay in your seat, choose to ignore it, look down and play on your phone or something?
Yeah. So that's a concert then?
No, I mean, it's a...
A halftime show. It's a Super Bowl.
Well, sometimes the halftime shows aren't that big. Like for a regular game, more like a little performance, small thing.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to cover one part of it. You said there's dancing,
yeah.
Right? So I'm non-mahrams, and So we're going to cover, inshallah, the rulings of dancing. We're not going to see that the marja will say, you know, because it's, you know, it's a Super Bowl, it's important, Super Bowl. Then I can listen to, I can watch women dance. The marja is not going to give me that permission, right? So, sorry. We'll end, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.